You are the light of the world. Are you sure? Are you sure you've got that right, Jesus? Surely you don't mean me. I'm a few lights short of a Christmas tree, if you know what I mean. I can't light up a room with my smile. I'm a really big sinner. I lose my temper, and I'm super lazy and selfish. Are you sure you want to dub me the light of the world, Jesus? Wouldn't you rather keep that title and position to yourself? You're so much better suited for it. I just don't think that it works to go around calling me the light of the world, you know? People might get the wrong impression about you, Jesus, because I mess up this whole Christian thing a lot. And if people think that I'm supposed to have it all figured out and have all the answers, well, they're kind of going to get the wrong idea about you, right? I don't think this is a good idea. Now, I know this is somewhat silly, but isn't that maybe a little what goes through your mind when you hear these words from Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I am? Are you sure? Do you have the right person? Like, have you seen what I've done? It almost seems oppressively heavy, these words from Jesus. Like, he's giving us a huge guilt trip. Come on, guys. You're supposed to be the salt and light of the world. Why aren't you pulling your weight? But that's not right. That's not what Jesus says, and that's not how he talks to us. So why do we read this into the text? Why do we run to conclusions like this? If that's not what Jesus is saying, why do we try to make this into something that we have to do? Why is this that we make all of it about us, about our own actions, our own responsibilities? Well, the easy answer is we're sinful. Yes, that's obviously true, but it's also kind of a cop-out because we can just say it and then move past it. But we need to actually reflect on those words, that we are sinful, because we need to spend time in introspection to examine our lives and see, yeah, we're not the light that Jesus says we are. We're not the salt that he says we are. We've come woefully short of being that light to the world. So how in the world can Jesus call us the light of the world? Well, part of the issue is not really our fault. It's really a fault of the English language. We have no word in proper modern English for what's called the second personal plural pronoun. In Old English, they just throw a ye on, like the King James translation does. Or in the South, they'd use y'all. Or in my hometown of Pittsburgh, they'd use yins. Because Jesus is not saying that you, or you, or you, or you, or you, are the light of the world. No, he's saying that y'all are the light of the world. The church is the light of the world. Because the church is like the moon reflecting the light of the sun. All the church does is this, reflecting the light of Jesus, reflecting the love and grace that Christ showed us first. We are bathed in this pure divine light of Christ. We see this brilliantly portrayed in the Old Testament with Moses. He goes to Mount Sinai and communes with God. He sits at the feet of God and listens to him and learns from him and shares that time with God. And when he comes down from the mountain, his face literally shines. It startles the Israelites because he's been so infused with the presence of God. Well, we radiate the light and love of God because we too sit in the presence of God. We learn from God as he speaks to us from Holy Scripture. We hear God's voice proclaim through our pastor that our sins are forgiven. We receive Christ's body and blood in Holy Communion. We shine the light of Christ because the church, you, me, all believers, we have been washed and made clean. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Like a bride glowing with the joy of her wedding day, the radiant expression that she sees as all of her plans have come to fruition, the church, the bride of Christ, shines with the light of her bridegroom. A bridegroom who would do anything for his bride, the church, even to the point of dying. You, that is, y'all, are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You, y'all, are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Now it seems ridiculous that salt could lose its saltiness. It's salt. If it loses its saltiness, it's no longer salt. Similarly, it would be ridiculous to take a lamp and put it under a basket. That's not what a lamp does. A lamp is supposed to provide light and shine and be a benefit to all who are near the lamp. The church, Christ's light to the world, has been placed here for a reason. Like a city on a hill cannot hide, neither can the church. We gather together to receive from God the gifts that he has set aside for us, and to be a beacon, proclaiming, as St. Paul said in our epistle reading, nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. As we proclaim the crucified and risen Christ to our neighbors, through our words, our actions, and daily life, we see how the church shines the light of Christ to the world. It can be small, like going to a preschool classroom and reading Bible stories to them, or volunteering at a local food bank. But it can be huge, too, like supporting a missionary who's out there translating God's word into languages that have not received the Bible before. The church works to bring the light of Christ to the entire world. Countless Christians over the nearly 2,000 years of the church's existence have dedicated their lives to service and mercy work for their neighbors, to feed the orphans, to care for the homeless, to provide for the downtrodden. Great numbers of people have benefited from the work of the church, working to shine the light of Christ in the world. But you, y'all, yins, you have been placed here too, in this city, in your communities, in your workplaces and vocations, in your families. You, as a part of the church, have been set on a lampstand to give light to all in the house. We need not search far and wide for those who we can shine light on. They're all around us, and they need to see Jesus just as much, if not more, than we ourselves continually do. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It's freeing, really, to let our light shine before others. I mean, it's easy to stress about, to try and make sure that we're doing the best we can to shine forth our light, to put on the best illumination possible. But a lamp doesn't stress about how much oil it has left, or if it's been put in the most optimal position for lighting. It just shines. God has placed you here to shine your light, and he will work through the light you give off. The light you give off as you care for your family, as you support your neighbors, as you ask those questions of your coworkers to see how they're doing and to share Jesus with them. You do not need to fret about what actions to take, because God does it through you. He will direct your ways and your deeds, and he will care for all of his creation and people through your works. Think of what Jesus says near the end of Matthew's gospel in chapter 25. Here Jesus is describing the end of the world with the separation of the goats, that is the unbelievers, with the sheep, the believers. Jesus says this about the believers. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. The righteous, the believers, y'all, they didn't stress about what good works they were doing because it was just as they lived. And they didn't know that they were doing good works until God pointed out all the good that they'd been doing. They were living their lives guided, molded, and directed by the Word of God, showing compassion to all those who needed it. All the poor, all the widows, all the needy. They were shining the light of Christ as they followed the guidance that Jesus had left behind them. You shine the light of Christ as you follow the guidance that Jesus has left behind for you. Because as he says, he did not come to tear down the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. So for you believers, we have the law as a guidance to show us how to act, to show us the love, the way that we love for our neighbors, so that all the world may see not you and not me, but Christ who lives within us. Amen.